This is ABC News Daily. I'm Sam Hawley. It's the start of a new political era, with Anthony Albanese about to be sworn in as Australia's 31st Prime Minister. He'll be navigating a dramatically different parliamentary landscape after Labor and the Coalition lost significant ground to a record number of independents and Greens. The crossbench has more than doubled. So why have voters turned on the major parties? Today, ABC 7:30's chief political correspondent, Laura Tingle, on the delicate balance Anthony Albanese has ahead of him and whether he can succeed.
It's been a long night. But if we can dial it down a little bit.
Laura Tingle, what a wild ride. We have a new Prime Minister, Anthony Albanese. What sort of leader will he be?
Well, I think there are two things about him, Sam. Primarily, in a sort of outward-looking sense, he has been and has a record as being a very good negotiator, a good consensus builder, or a good alliance builder. Mm-hmm. He was the leader of the House during the minority government of Julia Gillard, which famously moved through a record amount of legislation, never lost a vote in the parliament, got all sorts of things like the NDIS through, you know, tumultuous times against a really feral opposition. I think that's sort of a bit underestimated often in history, that that was essentially his job to manage the parliament, which was no mean feat. Mm. So in a purely functional way, I think we know that that's something that he's very capable of. In general, from the public's perspective, what he's promising is, you know, a little bit of the touch of the Hawke era, bringing people into the tent, bringing business on board, unions on board. So I think he is somebody whose background gives him the capacity to restart a conversation about a lot of things that we need to start talking about.
My fellow Australians, it says a lot about our great country that the son of a single mum who was a disability pensioner, who grew up in public housing down the road in Camperdown, can stand before you tonight as Australia's Prime Minister.
Laura, take me to his acceptance speech, because, you know, it did revolve a lot around his background. I mean, why did he keep pointing that out?
I think he used that, and everybody seems to have a log cabin story these days. Some of them are more embellished than others. In the same way that I think a lot of people felt that the whole daggy dad persona of Scott Morrison was a bit of a creation, a marketing creation. Mm. The kid from the single parent home really has been what Anthony Albanese has always been all his life. I think there's an authenticity in that. And it's a point which I suppose he thinks people can say, okay, well, you know, I said at the beginning of the campaign, I don't know who you are. Now I do know. In fact, he made a bit of a joke about that when everybody was calling out Albo a lot.
My fellow Australians, I think they've got the name by now. I think they got that. I know at the beginning of the campaign they said people didn't know me, but I reckon they've got it.
And he says in his speech, look, I hope my journey is an inspiration or inspires Australians to reach for the stars, which is something that we don't hear much of that sort of language these days. You know, he was saying that, you know, in an era where we've had a lot of politicians who've done, you know, come from quite comfortable circumstances, he was sort of really going back to the old battler idea of, you know, look, I actually did come from the wrong side of the tracks and I'm here now. And you should sort of all look at that and say, well, that's not only what Australia can possibly do, but that's what we want it to be able to achieve for all of us.
How will his approach be different than Scott Morrison's, do you think?
Well, I think it'll be pretty radically different from the way Scott Morrison has run the prime ministership.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for a start, without a doubt, particularly once the government was in trouble, that, as they say, Scott Morrison was a transactional politician. He would basically just respond to the news cycle of the day, make announcements which had very little follow-up. There wasn't any great weight or value put on actual policy. If anything, Anthony Albanese comes from the tail end, I think, of the period in which Labor was very invested in and fascinated by policy.
Mm.
It was such a policy-rich time during the Hawke and Keating era. And, you know, you did policy first and then you worked out how the politics worked. So I wouldn't necessarily say that that's Anthony Albanese all over, but, you know, I think he actually is interested in policy. He's surrounded by a very good front bench. I think it will be a deeper government than what became a very shallow and echoey empty vessel by the time we got to the election this last weekend.
Okay, well, Australians wanted change. They showed that at the ballot box quite convincingly. But, Laura, what do they want to change now? And what do they want to see the government do? And how quickly will it be done? You know, what's going to actually change?
Well, I think the fact that Labor will be able to form a government, but that so many people didn't vote for either Labor or the coalition is a sign of the obvious disaffection and disgust with mainstream politics. So I think what people will want to see is an integrity commission set up pretty quickly, which is a very strong commitment by Labor, and they'll want it to look like it's got real teeth.
Mm-hmm.
I think there is sort of a sense that people want sort of a government that looks and acts in a kinder way.
Mm.
They want a government that fixes things, that doesn't just talk about fixing things. They want a government that's going to fix the aged care system, that's going to fix the NDIS. So I think all of those things are very important. And for some people, that'll be also, you know, how the government goes around addressing the question of the Indigenous voice to Parliament.
Because all of us ought to be proud that amongst our great multicultural society, we count the oldest living continuous culture in the world.
You mentioned there that the vote for the major parties was well down, but we do have a new government, of course, in the Labor Party, in Anthony Albanese. But what sort of parliament will he be operating in, and does it matter?
Well, it matters in two ways. One of them is the actual numbers. If they've got a majority, that changes things. If they don't have majority, of course, they're going to have to do some negotiation with a crossbench. But I think even if they do have a majority, the presence of that crossbench is there as this warning, mm-hmm. this sort of reminder every day that people want to be consulted. They want to see the parliament consider legislation and discuss it and think about it and be prepared to consider amendments, to not, dare one say, bulldoze stuff through. The new government will have to take into account when it's sort of thinking about its approach to legislation. For example, the former government basically, or very rarely let, I can't even remember if they ever did, crossbenchers introduce private members' bills so that the capacity was basically only to deal with government legislation.
Mm.
Things like that, I think, are really going to be interesting and important signposts to regain people's trust in the parliament and in the government, that it's listened to the message that's come out of these rather extraordinary voting figures.
Okay, so the success of these Teal independents and the Greens, even if the Labor Party does have a majority and doesn't particularly need to rely on them for votes to go through in the House of Representatives, you're saying Anthony Albanese is still going to have to negotiate with these people because the Australian people want him to do that. They've told him through the ballot box that these people matter to them.
Mm. And, you know, it might not be that they have to negotiate, but they certainly have to be prepared to take on board their ideas and their feedback on pieces of legislation and things like that.
Mm. Laura, are we seeing a whole new era of politics here? I mean, is this election result different than ones we've seen in the past? Is it more significant?
I think it is different. I mean, it's sort of been heading this way to some extent for some years. I think when we got minority government in 2010, it was sort of a bit of an accident as far as the electorate was concerned, and they were sort of alarmed by it. Mm. This time around, people have gone, no, actually, we don't like the major parties. We want to have a conversation about other issues. You know, we want people to talk about climate change, for example, and we want the parliament to work as it should. There's no golden rule that says there should only be two major parties. Mm. And so the question for this first three-year period where we've got this group of independents, do the voters who voted them in stay with them, or is it going to be possible for the major parties to win them back, and or should they try to win them back? I mean, the experience suggests that once you get in as an independent, it's very hard to get them out again. I suspect that it's going to be a long-term change.
Laura Tingle is 7:30's chief political correspondent. Anthony Albanese will rub shoulders with Joe Biden and the leaders of Japan and India when he attends the Quad Leaders meeting in Tokyo as his first act as Prime Minister. In Tuesday's episode, we'll take a deeper look at whether the Liberal Party thrashing at the poll could see the end of its alliance with the Nationals. This episode was produced and mixed by Chris Dengate. Additional production by Sydney Peed. Our supervising producer is Stephen Smiley. I'm Sam Hawley. You can find all our episodes of the podcast on the ABC Listen app. To get in touch with the team, email us on abcnewsdaily@abc.net.au. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.